Well, as I've said before, the ongoing miracle of the lectionary and how it works never ceases to astonish me. Here we are on November 10th, Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, and you think it would be good if there was a text in our lectionary selections that could be used to take advantage of the time of the year. And there is. You think by now I would stop being surprised, because it does happen on such a regular basis. So perhaps I'm not so much surprised as, in fact, deeply gratified. And the text that we're going to be using is the reading from 2 Thessalonians. And it might not be the most obvious text to look at on Remembrance Sunday, if you will, or at least the Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, but there's some things in it that I think are extremely helpful for us. The sermon title is simply the word remember. And in this case, it's an active sermon title, more of a verb, a call to action, if you will, that we should remember. I thought of putting an exclamation point at the end, but this didn't seem to fit somehow. So we're going to think about this whole notion of remembering. And obviously, remembering is a good thing. Think of the last time you couldn't find your keys because you forgot where they were. Remembering is something that we all want, something that we all struggle with. As time goes by, apparently it gets harder when you get older. I can't remember where I read that. Just kidding. But what one person once said is that make sure you start writing down in your early 30s all the times you forget stuff. So when you do get older, you'll realize that this isn't new. You've always forgotten things. You just notice it more because you think you should. But instead, we're going to be looking at what it might mean to remember, or why we should. From a civic sense, of course, we know why we should. Remembrance Day is a day that's set aside for us to make sure that we don't forget that there were men and women, too, of course, who were willing to, as the poet said, put themselves between us and war's desolation. Some volunteered to go, some, of course, were conscripted to go, but still went because, well, there were some who didn't, who ran away, of course, who chose not to for whatever reason. But it's important for us to remember them. But why would we be talking about that at church? How is that important here? I'm not going to get into any kind of an extended conversation at this point, maybe ever, about Augustine's concept of a just war, or how do we deal as a church with the very notion of violence when sometimes that appears to be that all that can be done. Rather, I want to talk about remembering the people who served. It's unlikely in this group that there's anyone who doesn't know at least one person who was in active service somewhere, whether it was in the Second World War or Afghanistan. Particularly here in Moose Jaw with the base so close, it's extremely unlikely that any of us can say that we have no connection. People do. My 7-year-old, Neela, I don't think knows anyone who was in active service, at least not that she would identify. But I do. But why would I remember them here in the context of church? Well, it comes primarily out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Although, we'll read verse 5 first and then jump down to 15. Verse 5 says, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things?" And then verse 15 says, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." I find it incomprehensible that Paul considered that an exhaustive list of how you transmit important things about the faith. He just used it as, well, we told you some things and we wrote you some things. But I suspect Paul was well aware of the fact that he told people, taught people things about what it means to follow Jesus simply by what he did, by his life. If you observed him, you would learn things about what it means to be a Christian. It isn't all explicit teaching. I have learned things about what it means to be a follower of Jesus through my interaction with people who served. When I was at First Presbyterian, I had the great good fortune to know several men. And in this particular case, they were men. I've certainly known women who served, but the ones I'm thinking of there were men who had served, and they'd all served in the Second World War. Fred Sim, Jim Brown, and most importantly, David Marshall. These men weren't the kind who would tell you stories about the war at the drop of a hat. There's nothing wrong with that. That just wasn't their choice. And as a matter of fact, it was actually rather difficult to get them to talk about it in anything other than the most general of terms. But if you got them at the right time, in the right situation, when they were in the right frame of mind and thought it was appropriate, they would tell you what it was like. And they'd talk about some things that were disturbing, some things that were funny. They talked often about the just stunning level of boredom that there is in the military. So much hurry up and wait, so much training, so much maintenance, all of these things. And when they told me about some of them, I then thought, that's why they act like that. Their time in the military shaped them, just like their time in school, their time in their families of origin, their time as married people, as single people, just like us. What we do turns us into who we are. I mean, that's a cliche. That's a truism. It barely even bothers pointing out. But this Sunday, I think it's worth thinking for a moment that for many of the people that we have connected with in church, that we've looked up to, that we've learned from, part of what made them who they are was their service. Active, perhaps inactive, military service. And it's good for us to remember that. It's good for us to remember that these are the kind of people who went. It's good for us to remember that where we are now came from somewhere. And some of it came at an unbelievable cost. In retrospect, we might think of some ways that the Second World War, the Korean conflict, Afghanistan, Iraq, any conflict you want to think of. In retrospect, we may look at it and say there were other ways that could have been handled other than through military action. And maybe we're even true. Or maybe we're even correct. The fact remains that it wasn't done that way, and it was done through military action, and that's all there is to it. We have an obligation to remember what happened to get us to where we are now. As individual people, we have a responsibility to remember those who trained us up in the way of the faith, who trained us up to be good citizens, to be good people, to be good spouses, to be good children, good workers and supervisors, all of those things. We have a responsibility to remember those things as a sign of respect and as a way to be able to rehearse how we got to where we are. We're not allowed to just pick and choose. We can't just leave out the ones we don't like. Whatever our personal beliefs are on the value of conflict, on the place of violence in the life of a Christian, doesn't change the fact that it happened. And because it happened the way it did, no matter what other options there were, we are here in a free society that was under tremendous threat more than once. And the threat was met, for better or for worse, with force. We don't want to spend our time remembering the force, remembering the violence, as much as we want to look at the people who came out of it and say, what kind of people were they? We need to remember them. We need to thank them for doing what they thought was best, that has worked out for our good. And for those of us in the church, we also have a responsibility to stand firm and hold to the teachings that were passed on to us, whether by word of mouth or by letter or by the example of those around us. I'm a better member of any church because of my interaction, in particular with David Marshall, someone who served in the Second World War. He was in a tank corps, served in Holland, came out of it, unlike some who come out of those circumstances, essentially destroyed. He came out of it as someone with a great zest for life, for those of you who were fortunate to know him as well. Someone who just loved life, loved the church, saw its importance in the greater society. He saw church not just as a place where he could get together with people just like him, but a place where he could get together with people just like him and people not like him at all and reach out to the rest of the world. He saw church as something that had a continuing transformative value for the world. And his view there helped shape mine. I come here not just because it's a pleasant place to be on Sunday, but because I think what we do here on Sunday has a larger effect, has a ripple effect into Moose Jaw and beyond. What we do here is of value, and David helped convince me of that if I wasn't convinced before. David showed me how important it is to have a sense of humor about church while taking it in completely seriously. I'm a better Christian person because of him, and he wouldn't have been who he was if he wouldn't have gone through that conflict. I'm not saying he might not have been better if he wouldn't have, but we're dealing with what is, not what might have been. On Remembrance Day, I think of him because he made a difference. I remember him. But what about those people who don't have a David Marshall in their life? Can you remember someone you never knew? Yes, you can. I remember my father's half-brother, Alan, who I never met. My mother never met him. He died in 1944. He was also in tanks, but he never came back. He served in Italy. My middle name is Alan. It's not a coincidence. I remember him because who he was and his connection with my father made my father who he was, and who he was made me who I am. I don't have to know everything about everybody who served. I don't have to know the names of everybody who served. All I have to know is that they did. And that if we choose to, we can look at those who served, and we're thinking primarily of them because of the time of the year, but we can expand it to all those people around us. We remember them, and we remember them with respect and affection because of what they have turned us into, because of who they were to get us to where we are now, whether we directly interacted with them ever or not. It's harder for us in Canada to see that the direct connection we have. Talk to someone from, say, Holland, Belgium, Germany. Talk to somebody in South Korea. Talk to lots of these people who will say, no, no, we see exactly what happened. It was like this, and it was not what we wanted, and now it's like this because of that conflict. Things are better. We don't have that same immediate sense. We can't go to the places and say, at this place, this thing happened. But Canada is just as much a beneficiary of that because of all the people who served and came back and turned our country into the country it is today. It has parts I don't like and parts you don't like. We wish it could have been done in a different way. But it's the fallen world we live in, and we look for God in it. We don't ignore the parts we don't like. For whatever sense we might have of the glory of the military life, I don't think anyone really wishes that on anyone else. Being in the military is good for all kinds of people. It teaches you discipline. It teaches you the ability to take and give orders. It has lots of good things that come out of it. And those men I spoke of earlier would speak of that, how their time in the military changed them forever in positive ways. Jim Brown used to talk about flying for him. He was a pilot. He wasn't a pilot before. He was called up or volunteered, I don't even know which, and his aptitudes were such that they put him behind the wheel or whatever you call it of a plane. It changed him forever. He said there's something about being up there. It just did something for him. He wouldn't have been the person he was without that. But I know from talking to him and to Fred, to David, to others, that they never wanted anyone to go through what they went through. And they all survived. We remember them because even in the midst of that, they did what they thought they needed to do. And they did it for reasons that were larger than themselves. They went and they served because this is what they had to do to deal with the world in which they lived and what needed to be done so it could be a better place. The world is a better place now than it was in 1943. It's a better place now than it was in the middle of the Korean conflict, better now than it was in 1864 in the American Civil War. There were times in the middle of conflict that we look at it and go, this is absolutely horrifying. It's better now. Were there other ways to get there? We don't know. We can look at where we are now and say, these are the people who got us here, and we are grateful for what they have done. And not just grateful from the sense of our own personal comfort, but we're grateful because they have demonstrated to us, those of us who have eyes to see and the great good fortune to interact directly with them, ways to go through what they went through and come out as people who believe in God, who are more conformed to the image of Christ than they were before. Even through that, these people have something to show us, and usually show us is all they'll do because it's hard to get them to talk about it. But we remember them the same way we remember those who taught us in Sunday school. Those that we served on church boards with or committees with. Those that we volunteered with. Those people that have showed us by their lives what it means to be a better person. We remember them. We take a moment. We took 2 minutes today. Every time I go into that, I forget how long 2 minutes is and also how fast it goes. In those 2 minutes of remembering whoever comes to mind, suddenly the time is just gone. There's so much to think about. But 2 minutes of silence for us is an eternity. We do it because it's a sign of respect. It's one of the ways we express thankfulness. It's one of the ways that we make sure we remember them. But one of the other things that we do when we remember is we remember what they have done around us that have made us into the people we are. Remembrance Day isn't about glorifying war. It's certainly not about glorifying sacrifice. It's about remembering sacrifice. It's about remembering people who lived out greater love than, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. The willingness to sacrifice, in some cases, to pay the ultimate price is a sign of love that we can take lessons from without having to do it. And we can look at the people who are willing to make that sacrifice and see how they live their lives, and we can take things from how they live and become more the people we should be. We can look at things in different ways, and we can pay attention to the fact that they've made us better people. One of the ways that they can change us forever. Well, when I was looking at hymns for today, some of them are easy. Oh, Canada, that doesn't take any thought. But why morning has broken? Did any of you see that? Did any of you wonder why? Every once in a while when I wake up in the morning, I go, hey, it's another day. Some days I wake up in the morning and think, already? I've never woken up in the morning and said, I'm still alive, the same way some of my friends did. Where every morning meant that they were still alive. Think of that. None of us have lived through that on an ongoing basis, because we've seen people that we trained with, that we lived with, who aren't alive. It changed the way they looked at mornings, for some of them forever. And as I was thinking of what we could sing that would bring some of this home, it just came to me. Since I've heard that story, I've never really looked at mornings the same way when I think about it. I'll never be, you know, affected as much as they were. But when we sing, after we pray, when we sing in a few moments, think of that also. That these people came to a place where mornings meant something more than they'll ever mean to us. And they were still delightful people to be around. We have much to learn from these men, these women, honestly, these boys and girls who went to serve. But only if we remember. Amen.